in-house with breakfast and lunch at the Hook Cafe and top it off with a dinner at the Trophy Room. Book online now at oldkinderhook.com.
St. Louis just got stronger with the opening of our 24th Club Fitness location in Maplewood, 3256 Laclede Station Road. Don't miss our grand opening celebration on Tuesday, August 20th. Join for just $1 and get started to a happier, healthier you. So mark your calendars for August 20th to enjoy food, fun, prizes, and one-day-only savings. Live local in Maplewood for just $1. It's all you need to join the Club Fitness family. Visit clubfitness.us for more details.
Do you have big dreams, big plans? Well, you'll need a small rate. Royal Banks of Missouri can help build your future. Royal's home equity rates are at a historical low. And for a limited time, Royal Banks is offering one of the area's best home equity lines of credit. Call 314-212-1500 to talk to a representative today. Royal Banks of Missouri, investing in St. Louis for over 50 years. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hello, would you like me to find workout classes near you?
There are no stores that sell glasses within 10 miles of your location.
There's enough artificial in the world. That's why Michelob Ultra is brewed with no artificial colors or flavors. With just 95 calories and 2.6 carbs, superior light beer. Enjoy responsibly. 2019 Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 grams carbs, 0.6 grams protein, and 0.0 grams fat for 12 ounces.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Diet Coke, please. See, I'm losing weight. That's what I had when I was
responsible.
Here this weekend. I had a Diet Coke and a little bit of popcorn, but not a lot. It's time to talk about the movies and TV shows, and you are welcome to put in your 2 cents worth. I'm going to give you the numbers. Dan, I'm going to introduce Dan Buffett, tell you who his sponsor is. Feel free to call. Let us know what you've discovered at the movie theater, on TV, whatever that you'd like to share. You could warn us if it's bad, or you could tell us if it's good. And then Dan and anybody else here will share what we've discovered. The numbers are 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Dan Buff is brought to you by Window World. Window World makes a lot of things possible on this show. His segment, Josh Bauman's segment, Dr. Doug's segment, of course, Bill Cleveland every day. So please do us a favor. Make sure to let them know why you're interested in Window World Windows, because you're AM in the PM. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Buff.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon. Have you seen The Mustang?
What Mustang?
The Mustang, the movie called
Yes,
Mustang.
I watched that. It seemed like it was out like months and months ago, but I think it came out.
It's not old. It's recent.
I think it just, didn't it just hit Redbox? It should be on DVD.
It's on demand.
DVD.
I watched it this week.
It's a good movie.
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
It's a tough watch at times, but it's very slow, the way that he kind of comes together with that horse and forms a kind of a friendship. He's kind of a rough guy in that movie. Matthias Schoenaerts, who people will probably know from a Tom Hardy movie called The Drop, or maybe a movie with Marion Cotillard.
No, so you assume everybody has seen everything you've seen, or that they even know who this guy is.
Well, The Drop was more of a commercial release. It had James Gandolfini. It was James Gandolfini's last role. It had Tom Hardy, but even that was a small, like, mainstream release. So he could be just completely new to audiences. But he was that character, and I like the way. Maybe you'll agree. Maybe you won't. I like that you didn't find out right away what he did.
Right. I give it 3 out of 4.
Yeah, me too.
Mustang.
I think, like, let's put it this way. Like, when you brought it up just now, I kind of had to think about it. It wasn't, like, already there. Like, Yesterday still is, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is still in my head.
Right.
The Mustang was good, but it was a hard movie for me to get close to, because it was really, really honest with those ex-cons and the way they had, not ex-cons, convicts that had to rehabilitation through, you know, taming a horse.
Can I get my 3 ARDs for the Mustang? Here they come.
All right, Dean.
All right, now let's talk about the movie that has gotten a lot of advanced publicity. They hit the road, and they took Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio and put them on the Today Show and everything.
Everywhere.
This was a big deal, and I will admit that to have those two, I think this is the first time they worked together.
Yep.
You had two screaming sex symbol
two big
women
time movie stars.
So they did this Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and I went I believe it was, you know, I can't remember, Saturday or Sunday, and I went with my, first of all, my second son went before we went.
You said last week that he called me, he
said
it's
one of the worst movies. He said, Dad, this is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. He said that he and his wife, at about the 1 hour point, almost got up and left, and then almost thought, well, surely it's going to get better. And he said, and it didn't. So yeah. I got that in my head. Then remember, you guys remember Mike Evans, oh my goodness, it was great. Yeah. And then he goes on about how, well, I lived it. Well, I don't think most people lived Hollywood.
And then last week we took calls, and I think it was kind of slanting a little bit in the favor of Hollywood,
well, what's
but
interesting
not.
Is the calls were either love and hate it. No in between, horrible, great. So six That's of it. Us went. Again, my son is 38. And his girlfriend, a little younger, my wife, me, and a couple of friends, 50s, from Kansas City.
Okay. Good mix of ages.
We were very surprised that we all agreed that it wasn't horrible. It also wasn't great. It was right in the middle.
So the middle.
It was entertaining. It was too long. It was too long by half an hour. But I enjoyed it. Now, here to me is a statement that will say whether or not the movie was really great. And if you answer this question, would you ever see it a second time? And the answer is no.
I have.
Okay, but I wouldn't. I would not see this movie a second time. Sort of like The Artist, which won an Academy Award. Well,
such a rough movie.
I never see that a second time. But then there are movies like River Runs Through It. Yeah. I'm thinking of other Brad Pitt
Goodfellas.
Movies. Goodfellas. Yes, absolutely. At some point, maybe not right away, but I've seen Bohemian Rhapsody, I think, three times.
Because that's on HBO now, I think, right? Yeah.
I saw it twice in the theater. Twice within a week in the theater.
I saw the Tarantino film twice in 16 hours.
But I would not watch, and if I see that it's on in a year, no, I will not watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I would give it a very solid 2 ARDs. Now, did you... Rated.
I gave it 4.
See?
And see, the thing is, the first time I watched it, I would have given it a 3. But then when I watched it a second time, I was able to absorb more parts of the movie. The hype factor was gone, and I thought the whole movie fell into place. The running time problem was an issue for me the first time, but the second time, everything flowed better. Right, so here, it went from a 3 to a 4 for me.
The one thing that I did not like in the movie at all, Brad Pitt, ladies... takes his shirt off. He's going up on the roof to fix his friend's antenna, and he takes his shirt off. I wanted to punch him in the face if I could have, because it's hard enough for most of us to deal with the fact that we're not good looking, older, out of shape. This guy without a shirt looks like he's 30 years old.
He's 55
years old.
I would have thought 50s.
My wife, when he took his shirt off, I looked over at my wife. Her eyes were twinkling, and she was kind of half smiling.
He does look pretty good. I'll give him that.
So, gentlemen,
he's kept in shape.
Probably what will happen is you'll get lucky after the movie, but remember that when she goes home with you, she's thinking of Brad Pitt. That's okay. That's whatever it takes.
It's okay.
So he does take his shirt off, and the ladies will love that. I think Leonardo DiCaprio is a far better actor than Brad Pitt.
I think I would agree, just because I think Brad Pitt, what he does with this role, though, he totally convinced me that he was this Cliff Booth, that he was this old-school stunt guy. Even the way that when he drives the car on the street, he's driving like a stunt guy.
Right.
And he jumps up those walls to get on the roof. But I thought this was one of his best roles, because sometimes he can coast on his star power.
Oh, no, as it looks.
And I think in Fury, where he played a part of that World War II tank team, he was good in, because he actually played a role. And in Inglourious Basterds, but sometimes he does kind of coast on star power.
Remember the baseball movie he did with
Moneyball?
Yeah, that was good. Oh, that was good.
He played Billy. I think Billy Bean had to give him a call and go, "Good job."
That was very good. So I give it 2, and that's my take on Once Upon a Time.
Still doing well. It was Quentin Tarantino's biggest opening at the box office by far. I think it outdid Bastards. I think that was the previous one.
But he never has a giant record-breaking opening.
No, he doesn't, because I think people, I mean, he is an acquired taste. I mean, he's only made, for my money, he's made 10, because some people now want to combine Kill Bill. I still see them as two separate films. So he's only made 10 movies.
And I haven't seen most of his movies, but I'm assuming at some point in every movie he does, there is graphic extreme violence. Have you seen this thing, Limey?
No, I have not.
They save the violence toward the end.
It takes a while.
Almost the end, but when it hits, my son's girlfriend had to look away. She couldn't even look at the screen.
It's rough.
That's how violent it is.
It's one of those things where you go, I'm waiting for it. Like, okay, it's been 2 hours, 15 minutes, and I know here come the Manson murders. Are they going to happen? And I knew the minute they went in that house, I was like, and I'll just say, Brad Pitt's character is under the influence. He has a dipped in acid.
Yeah, cigarette.
Yeah. So he's just high as a kite. And I was like, this is going to get good. It's going to get good right now. And it did. It gets very violent.
Here's the thing about Quentin Tarantino. As violent and graphic as the scenes are,
yeah,
at least in the movies I've seen of his, there's laughter in the movie theater.
It's now, dark
that
humor.
I know that sounds weird. It is dark humor. My older son was laughing he was laughing hard while DiCaprio was burning a person to death with a flamethrower. There's the way he does it, it's actually kind of comical, even though it's horrible.
It is, because I think that Tarantino, and of course, before he made movies, he worked as a video store clerk. So he just watched movies endlessly and over and over.
Me want to buy a flamethrower. What a cool toy.
And I like the way it calls back to an earlier scene in one of his movies. It's just funny. I just like where Brad Pitt and Tex are just they're just laughing, because Brad Pitt's he's under the influence and he doesn't know what's going on. And that dog, that pit bull named Brandy, plays a good role.
I'll just tell you this. I'll give this money. There's a pit bull in there. He tears into a guy's testicles, and you can hardly sit in your seat watching it.
Yeah.
This dog rips
guy.
Yeah, yeah, that guy.
On all three of them, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's trained to rip your testicles off. So, now, enough of that. We've talked about it. I would like to talk about a little TV later, but what do you have for us?
The new release that I watched and I've been waiting for almost as much as Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is the new Rock movie. It's called Hobbs and Shaw.
I will not go see
that. I know you won't. But it is, for me, it is the epitome of a summer movie. It is fun. It's hilarious. Because it all started, it's a spinoff of the Fast and the Furious films. There's been 8 Fast and the Furious movies. They started back in 2000. And the last one, in 2017, had The Rock's character and Jason Statham. And these are two guys that hated each other. You had Homeland Security guy, and you had a British spy. And so they had such good chemistry together, they just make fun of each other, that they got their own movie. And one of the things that makes this new movie, it's called Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. Hobbs, played by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he is he's the best tracker in the business. He works for the National Security Agency. And then Statham plays Shaw. Decker
you guys
Shaw.
Know who Jason Statham is?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Do you know who he is?
Yeah.
Here's the way I describe him. Dan, you know who he is?
Yeah.
Here's the way I describe him. If I could come back as somebody, he'd be one of the candidates. That guy.
He has not changed. His look hasn't changed in like 15 years.
No.
And the thing is, he was actually spotted by Guy Ritchie. He was selling jewelry and like stuff on the street, and Guy Ritchie, the director, spotted him, put him in a movie.
I saw the previews for this movie when I went and saw yesterday, last Sunday, and I like Dwayne Johnson, and I like Jason Statham, but the lines were so corny
that
my family members and I, we were joking
That's exactly why I don't want to see it, because I could tell that from the trailer.
But those two guys, they make them funny, and there's a lot more in the movie that you don't see in the trailer. They rip each other apart.
I don't like
this movie.
Mixing action with bad comedy. I just don't.
I mean, I would say that I've seen bad comedy, and I've seen things that are done well, but these two guys, I mean, Dwayne actually, he actually wrote all the put-downs in this movie. And him and Statham, they're ripping each other. He compares Jason Statham's voice. He's like, your voice is like a prepubescent Harry Potter, nasally, it's annoying. It makes my ears burn. And then Statham tells The Rock, you know what I don't like about you? It's your big dumb face.
It's not funny.
The thing that got me about the preview is that they showed a couple of scenes where these guys are clearly about to be murdered. At least the other people in the scene clearly intend to murder them in any second.
Right.
And they're tied up and they're handcuffed and they're in these ridiculous positions or they're about to be beheaded or flame torched or whatever.
Electrocuted.
And they're sitting there making fun of
each other.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
It's like,
yeah.
it's just way overboard like corny for me.
Yeah, I mean, it is ridiculous over the top, but that's the Fast and the Furious movie. So, I mean, I would say if you don't like those movies, you're not going to like these, but these are more funnier. And see, the humor in the other movies were just kind of, it was okay. But these, in this movie, they just, and there's a couple cameos, they rip each other apart. I mean, it's the humor between these two guys that makes the movie great. Idris Elba plays the bad guy. Essentially, the plot is that, you know, you have a cyber-enhanced bad guy, Idris Elba, who wants to take out the world. And these two guys, who hate each other, have to work together to stop him. And it's a really simple plot. That's the Fast and Furious movies. You have basically criminals or guys that don't like each other, they team up. But it is so much fun, you just have to suspend disbelief. You have to really take that leap. And there's people that won't. But for me, this is when I balance the more serious fare by watching this. And if I had to watch a bunch of, you know, very depressing indie films, then I'd be, you know, basically sad all the time. This is a movie where you don't have to think for 2 hours. And that's kind of what I got when I asked people on Twitter, because I do that. I say, what did you think of this movie? Because I want to get what people think. And a lot of people just said, I had fun. They didn't have to think for 2 hours. Those two guys are great. But you have to have the right guys. And I think Statham and The Rock are the right guys.
You also have to like that kind
of
banter.
To.
I don't like it. Look, if it's an action movie, I want action. I want to be on the edge of my seat.
It isn't like John Wick where, you know, John Wick's limping by the end of the movie.
So ARDs for the, what's it called, Hobbs and whatever?
It's called The Fast and the Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw. I give it a 3.5 for whatever I went in wanting. It delivered.
Wow. Okay, 3.5. Here we go.
All right, Dean. All right. So, well, what kind of TV do you got? That's the only big movie I have coming. I'm going to get to TV.
First of all, my wife and I, we're completely different. We don't like, she eats right, I don't. She exercises, I don't.
Okay.
But the one thing we both like, we love sitting down and watching something like Ozark or Bloodline on TV.
A TV show.
Yellowstone. And we really enjoy going to the movies. And oddly enough, we almost always agree when we go to a movie. We know when we go we're probably both going to like it because we've seen the trailers. And it rarely do. What I won't do is I just won't go with her to a movie that's about Queen Victoria. She'll go with a girlfriend. I'm not watching that crap. Me Lord, Your Grace. I don't want to see that.
Those are hard to do.
Carriages and fluffy dresses and guys dressed like girls with frilly shirts. I don't care about that. She likes that Shakespeare in love type stuff. Anything with Hugh Grant, she'll watch. Anything with Hugh Grant, I will
avoid.
Grant
hasn't even been around.
Well, it's an example. I don't like that stuff. But when we do go, we really enjoy it. And we are both into Yellowstone for two different reasons, but that are the same reason. She's crazy about Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
And I have got this thing for this Kelly, what's her name?
Kelly O'Reilly.
Oh!
Kelly O'Reilly.
Yeah, who plays his daughter.
Yeah.
It is a terrific series.
It is.
And coming back, I believe, Sunday is Succession.
Yes. I mean, can we discuss this season, what I like about this season of Yellowstone, they've given Cole Hauser's rip a really full-bodied story. In the first season, he was kind of like this rough henchman.
Here's what you do, though. Here's what you do drives people crazy.
Why?
They give Cole Hauser's rip. The people who don't watch Yellowstone, they don't know what that means. They don't know who he is.
Well, Rip is the character played by Cole Hauser. He's a guy that I thought it fell off the face of Hollywood's earth.
Let's explain what Yellowstone is. Yellowstone is the name of a huge cattle ranch.
It's Sopranos on a ranch.
In Wyoming, right?
Yeah.
And the owner, the
John
godfather,
Dutton.
Cattle guy, is John Dutton, played by Kevin Costner. He's J.R. Ewing. He's all of the people you've ever seen who
supposedly owns all this land, but everybody wants to take it from him.
Right. And he has children. He has two sons and a daughter.
He's got some chaotic kids.
And it's a very dysfunctional family. And it is a look into what a dysfunctional, very wealthy family is like.
Yeah.
It's a look into raising cattle and how brutal the competition is and how nasty it can
be.
And
also another thing that really this season is what Jamie did, played by Wes Bentley, who's
you have to explain who Jamie is.
Yeah,
Jamie is one of his sons.
Yeah, one of his sons. He's kind of like the lawyer, but he also, let's just say, him and his father had kind of a parting of the ways last season, and when he comes back into the family this season, something what he did in the first season is coming back to haunt him, and it turned into one of the scenes that I hated. and maybe you know which one I'm talking about. It was not in this past week's episode, but the week before. I don't like when Kelly Riley, who has discovered that Jamie, who has, could ruin the family with, by going to the press, drags him by his ear across the hall. I hated that scene because I don't care how what you did or what's going on. You don't let your sister drag you by the ear like
in
that.
One of the early episodes, folks, if you haven't seen this, as a show of loyalty to the ranch, the employees are branded like you brand a cow. And it is so realistic.
Yeah,
no,
their chest.
There's a Y that is
and no
burned
doubt.
Into their chest. And when they show it, I'm telling you something, I can almost feel it. It's so realistic.
And they shake it off. They're just like, okay, they button their shirt back up and they basically walk back to the house.
I would be in the hospital,
I'd be crying.
Out in a coma, passed out because they burned a Y into my chest. But even his own sons have to have it done. And that's when you open your shirt and you see that, you know,
and anybody,
you're there for life.
Anybody who comes to the ranch, like it's really the people who have to get branded are mostly like ex-cons. The people that they pick up to work on this ranch are ex-cons. And that's where Rip, who's kind of like the lead rancher, who has to go pick these guys up from prison, and he goes, look, in order to work here, you got to get branded. And kind of a fun fact, the guy that plays the one that wants to get away, Ryan Bingham, is also a musician who kind of plays a guy who got branded but is kind of starting to have second thoughts about the way they do things on the ranch. But once again, this is Sopranos on a ranch. They do a lot of corrupt stuff. If you want to leave the ranch, you don't get to leave the ranch. If they have a problem, they take care of it off the books in criminal ways. So
yeah. Yellowstone is Paramount, which is the network.
That's
relatively new.
It is available to purchase each episode on Amazon Prime for $3.
Isn't it also on Spike TV?
It is, and it's also, if you have Sling, you can add Paramount Network to your
Sling. I think, is Paramount part of a basic cable package, or is it a premium?
It's basically like its own streaming network. Okay. It's like DirecTV. That they have their own audience network. It's kind of like trying to have its own channel. Like even CBS is going to have all access. They're going to have their own show. They're bringing back Patrick Stewart's Star Trek character for an own CBS extra.
I don't like it in a way when I get hooked on an Ozark or a Bloodline because you become. It's almost like you cannot wait for that's how good
you
they
need
are.
More.
You
yeah.
cannot wait. And if they release them all, I'm not kidding. My wife and I will usually watch the whole season in about two nights.
And I'll give credit. I watch a lot of movies, a lot of TV shows, but there's some shows where I can kind of wait to watch it. Yellowstone.
I can't wait. It's on tomorrow night. Wednesday night. I can't wait.
And the fact that we changed, you know, our cable providers, we went to YouTube TV. We're going to be purchasing it, you know, because we watched the last one on Sling, so we dropped Sling because of unrelated reasons, because they lost the Cardinal games. But I'm going to be purchasing the last two episodes. That's how much I want to watch it. I don't want to wait till it's available in a whole season.
Speaking of provider, let's talk to the audience about what you and I were talking about on the hall.
DirecTV,
folks,
and
if you have Dish, and I do, I'm going to call them before the end of the week, and I'm going to say, I want you to cut me a deal before I cut you, because when I signed on and bought the package, at the time I got HBO and I certainly got Channel 4. I don't have either one of them now. I should not be paying the same amount of money. I don't have HBO. I can't get Channel 4. And this has to be crippling KMOV Television Channel 4, because everybody in this town who has Dish cannot watch the Channel 4 news
because
now.
Dish owns Sling TV, and that's what I've had for the past year and a half. And so one night when I was going to watch,
and DirecTV owns HBO, so they don't have that either.
When I was going to watch the Cardinals game, it just wasn't there. I mean, it was a Friday night. The Friday before last, they just dropped. So if you wanted to watch the baseball game and you had Sling TV, you're done.
I see a hand raised. Yes, Tim Woodburn.
It's hard to get a word in with you two during this.
It right ahead.
Holy cow! Tomorrow the Cardinals game is on YouTube. Remember last year when they did a couple of Facebook-only games, and it got very bad reviews because
it was kind
of
rough.
You had to opt out of seeing what everybody's comments were on the side. You kind of had to know how to do that. It took me a minute or two to figure out how to do it. It only had 30-something thousand views or whatever, but Major League Baseball is still concentrating on finding these different ways to market the game. And so they have what's called a YouTube Game of the Week. And the Cardinals are in Los Angeles tomorrow. And for the first time in franchise history, a Cardinals game will be broadcast tomorrow during this show, I might add, on YouTube.
Don't watch it.
And on YouTube only.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, they could at least put the Clayton Kershaw game on, but that might be a very boring game for Cardinals fans.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, so that was, we actually got YouTube TV, which has the Cardinals game and it has the local channel, so we actually switched to that.
Television has become a giant bidding war. It's like, you know, who's going to get the rights to? And it's like going to an auction.
Multi-million
dollars. Sitting out in the chairs at the auction, there's Netflix and Amazon. What do I hear for Cardinal Baseball? Who wants to give me $60 million? That's
what it's become. And Disney wanted to create their own network, so they pulled all the Marvel stuff off Netflix. Even the movies will be off Netflix.
What it's done for me is there are so many series and so many TV shows and so many channels that half the time, I honestly, unless it's a really big name, more than half the time when Dan Buffa comes into the studio and says, and it's starring so-and-so, I have no idea who he's talking about.
Right.
Well, there's so many actors and so many series that
you're right.
There's a gluttony of...
On Amazon alone, I saw about four shows I wanted to watch, but I'm not going to have time.
The good news, and I didn't realize how right I was when I was saying this to people 10 years ago. I've been telling young people who asked me about radio, I said, the business to get into is video. Television, internet video, we live in a video world. And right now is the greatest time in history. If you're an actor, they need actor. There are thousands of movies being produced.
Just think about, let's just go 10 years ago. Netflix is not around. The streaming device. Amazon's not around.
Well, if you're an actor, you worked on CBS, NBC, ABC, maybe Fox, or you did movies, and that was it. You got everything from the Discovery Channel to HGTV, Home and Garden, all these house flipping shows. All of these people have to have cast members.
Imagine if you're like working and you got this one work on this pilot, it doesn't get picked up, you're done for the season. Now if you don't get the CBS pilot picked up, you can go to Netflix. You can go to Amazon.
My wife works out a lot, okay? Her trainer where she goes to work out is an actor. And he lived in Hollywood. And I've met the guy. We had dinner with him and his girlfriend. He's a really good-looking guy and a good actor. And I watched a couple of things. He's been in episodes of shows you would know with very famous people.
So he's kind of like a face.
Yes, but he finally decided to hang it up because he wasn't making a living. He's one of those people that he's a waiter at night, and then you're an actor. And people think of, he had a scene in NCIS or something. Well, he got scale. He made a few hundred bucks, and he was on.
You can't don't live on lot.
It. So he hangs it up, and then now, 5, 6, 7 years after he gave it up, and then I guess he's almost 40, look what's happened. And he said to her, he said, oh, my goodness, if I were out there now. But now he almost feels like he missed his prime.
He missed the buck.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you know, I interviewed Frank Grillo, and he told me, you know, for a while, for the first 10, 15 years of his career, he felt like he was an actor, but he didn't feel like he was part of the game.
Right.
And now when he got in, when he broke through in a movie with Liam Neeson called The Gray, and that put him on a bunch of people's radar. And then he was in a movie about MMA called Warrior. And then all of a sudden he was having meetings with Martin Scorsese, Steven Spielberg, that just all of a sudden he felt like he was part of the game when he was in his late 40s.
Well, the game, first of all, now has so many more players. If you're an actor,
abilities, outlets.
You live in St. Louis. I still say the smart thing to do is get out of here and go to L.A. Okay, it just is. But now, instead of picking up Variety, you go online and you find all these auditions you can go to, and there are hundreds of them.
Well,
and
imagine,
the chances of you getting work are a lot better than they used to be.
And just imagine, like, compared to newspapers, imagine if there's one newspaper in town, you have to get a job there.
Right.
Now there's 4 to 5 if you're in Hollywood. There is a streaming device where you could go do a Netflix show for 2 months, and that's going to play forever.
Which also means a lot more work for editors, sound people,
visual
assistant producers, grips, stagehands, lighting people,
extras, stunt people.
There are there are 100 times as many jobs as there were 20 years
ago. Let's put it this way. Like when Daredevil premiered on Netflix, that was the first Marvel series that had so much stunt work in it. So all those stunt coordinators and all those stunt people. And then Jessica Jones came on. So just that Marvel Netflix shows, that gave so much work and so much of a spotlight to stunt people that they may not find that action in the movies.
Might be a tad before your time, but I think you'll squeeze into this. I know Frank will. I remember the day when cable first came out.
I do too.
And we as a family had to sit around and discuss, okay, we can only afford 2 of the 4 movie channels.
Right.
We can afford HBO, Cinemax, Showtime.
And by the way, basic cable is like $6 or $7 a month.
Right.
I'm not kidding.
Okay, do we want Showtime? Do we want Cinemax? Do we want the movie channel? Or do we want HBO? Those were basically the big 4.
Yeah.
And we had to like vote on which 2.
Like for us.
So we can afford 2. It's like, which 2 do we want? So we, of course, so my brother and I, of course, voted for Cinemax because they were notorious for showing the most TNA.
Right. And especially
we
like, late at night.
And we were 13. And we just thought that was awesome.
In fact, a lot of young guys called it Skinemax.
Yeah.
For me,
it was HBO because they had the best movies and they had HBO Sports. They put on the best boxing matches. So I was like, damn, we got to get HBO.
But when I was 27 years old, I worked for a guy who had some money. And money people have friends who have money. And so I don't even know why he asked me, but he said, would you like to go along with me tonight? I'm going to a meeting. And it was a meeting in Clayton or somewhere. And it almost seems impossible to believe this ever really happened. I said, what meeting are we going to? He said, you might find it interesting. He said, they're trying to talk people into this cable TV thing. And I said, what's that? He said, well, it's TV like you get with an antenna, but it comes in through a cable and there are no commercials. So what they were trying to do was get investors to invest in the first cable company in St. Louis.
What year was this?
This would have been about 1977, 76, 77.
Wow.
So I go to the meeting, and there's a guy who's standing up making a presentation. Now, sitting out here in not many people, 30, 40 people, are businessmen. They're wealthy people, and they're listening to this pitch. And essentially, the guy has some charts, and he's saying, this is the future. And it's pay TV. And I remember one guy saying, I'm sorry, pay? People would pay for television? And he said, yes, that's only sig. He goes, no, nobody is going to pay to watch. I'll never forget this. And this guy he's out. He's not going to invest. Yet a couple of other guys said, this is interesting. No commercials. And how much? And if I'm not mistaken, it was about $6 or $7 a month. And he said, now, eventually we will offer some premium channels that'll add another dollar or two. And it's funny, about half the crowd went, you're out of your mind. And the others went, tell me more. And I meant, and think where we are.
Imagine the people that first suggested, cell phones over pay phones and pagers.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and the phone companies. Look at your phone bill at 1985. Oh, you want the call waiting? That'll be an extra $2.50 a month.
Yeah.
Oh, you want automatic voicemail? That'll be an extra $4.
You want a cell phone in your truck? What?
No, cell phones. This is way before cell phones.
You also had actually 2 phone bills. You had your regular phone bill and then your itemized long-distance call.
Right.
$2.80 to Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Who called Minneapolis for $2.80.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who called this 800 line 37 times?
Yeah.
That's why I like watching Steve Jobs, because they go through when he's like, he tells his daughter, I'm going to put music on your phone. I'm going to put 1,000 songs on your phone. And she's like, no way. Like, I will. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be able to listen to music on your phone.
I got a friend who used to say, if my grandmother could just get out of the grave for one day and visit this planet. Think about that.
You know what I think? It's funny that you say that, and you'll appreciate this. I think about that all the time when I watch baseball. If Babe Ruth, or if somebody could just come out of their grave and watch what the game has become,
the money
today,
they're making,
just the in-game presentation and the scoreboard replays and the antics of the players
instant
on the field,
replay.
The equipment that they use on their bodies,
the shield,
when they're at the plate and everything. It is just it's like a complete.
That's one of
game.
The best things I've ever heard by a former pitcher, Bob Gibson, said if a batter came to the plate in '68 with that armor in his arm, I'd hit him right in the shoulder with the first pitch.
But it's, you're right about the money too. Let's just say, you were talking to Babe Ruth, and he came back from the dead, and you go, now, Babe, you better sit down when I tell you what people are making.
Yeah, I mean, just Let's put it this way. The Cardinals faced the Arizona Diamondbacks recently, and the guy that pitches for them, who now pitches for, I think, the Astros, Zach Greinke, makes $35 million a year. Now, let me put that in perspective. Starters make about 33 starts a year, so he makes more than $1 million per start.
Wow.
My favorite money breakdown stat of all time is not this year because he took a cut, but last year was, I think, the highest amount of money Adam Wainwright made in one season. I think it was last year.
If not,
it was the year before.
Yeah.
And when you look up Bob Gibson on baseball-reference.com, it's a great site because it tells you the career earnings of every player that ever played how much they made each year. Adam Wainwright made more money in 1 month last year than Bob Gibson made his entire career.
Wow, isn't that something? How about Sam Musial? Go look at what he made.
I think at one point when I was working the manual scoreboard, I was wanting to figure out what Scott Rowland made. And I think he makes about $60,000, I think, in a bat. And I was like, back then, I was like, man, so you pop it up. You're like, man, this made $60,000.
You want to hear a great Scott Rowland story? I mean, this is a true story, and I'll never forget this. I don't know anything about Scott Rowland. I know he played for the Cardinals.
Best third baseman.
Well, I'm at dinner in, I won't name the restaurant, with my wife and I are with another couple. And Jim Edmonds and Scott Rowland were in there with their wives. And the person that I was with, the guy and his wife, knew them. And they came over to the table. And, hey, how you doing? You got, kind of getting caught up in old times. And for some reason, I was never introduced. I was almost like I was so insignificant that they're chatting it up with this other guy. And the whole time, I just sat there. I felt like this is how I know I'm really nobody, not even worth it. And they walked away. And about 15 minutes later, Scott Rowland came over and tapped me on the shoulder. And he said, I just realized we were never introduced. I'm Scott Rowland. And I thought, wow, good for you. That was really impressive to me. He said, I'm so sorry. I don't know who fault this is, but we never got introduced. I'm Scott Rowland. And I thought, well, that is beyond impressive.
See, for me, I did it with birthdays. Like Chris Evans, who plays Captain America, we're both the same age. I go, you know what? He's done pretty well for himself. He can retire today and be known as Captain America in the Marvel movies for the rest of his life. I mean, he's going to do some other movies, but he is Captain America, and I'm just a nobody.
So I got something for you, Buffa.
What do you got, Mr. Woodburn?
In 2006, Scott Rowland made $12,456,536 with the Cardinals.
Now that I know that, when he came over the table, I should have said, will you buy my dinner?
That kind of seems like chump change a little bit.
Well, this is 2006 money, okay? So that was the highest he ever made as a Cardinal. So he had 593 plate appearances that year.
Okay.
And I just did the math as director of research for the show. Every at-bat, he made $30 less than $21,000 every time he stepped to the plate. Every time he stepped to the plate, $21,000.
Okay, so I was shooting high with my $60,000, but still, $21,000.
I had a friend years ago who...
No matter what he does, right? No matter what he does, strikes out or hits a home run.
Pop up, hit by pitch.
Imagine if they do that, they change it in the future. If you get out, you don't make anything.
There's a friend of ours, the guy did pretty well as a manufacturer's rep, and they had a housekeeper. Somebody came to clean their house. She also cleaned Bruce Sutter's house.
Bruce Sutter.
And she said that on his refrigerator, stuck up there with refrigerator magnets, were three of his paychecks. And they were each for something like $33,000. So there's $100,000 in checks. And she said that I finally said to him one day, Mr. Sutter, you know, you have three paychecks stuck up on the refrigerator. He goes, I keep forgetting to cash those or deposit them.
How do
you forget $100,000 worth of checks? I'll tell you how. When you're making so much money, that it's just, I'll get to them eventually.
And you just keep taping one on top of the other.
No, Tim, each one was under separate
magnets. The next person you need to look up is Giancarlo Stanton. He's the highest, I think he's the highest paid player, position player, or actually baseball player in the league right now.
What do you think the average, and I bet Tim could look this up, when St. Louis Cardinal football, back in the heyday, the 70s.
Yeah,
what do you think Jim Hart? That's going to be interesting.
Our Youngblood.
Deardorff Hart. Yeah, Jim Hart would be a good example. What do you think he made? Take a guess before he looks it up.
I think $20,000 was a good salary.
Oh, I think it's more than that.
You think so?
Oh,
the
yeah.
average football player, you think?
Okay, well, before I do that, let me blow you away with Zach Greinke, okay? Oh, that he was just talking about. Zach Greinke made $34 million last year pitching for the Arizona Diamondbacks. He pitched 207 and two-thirds innings. Zach Greinke, every inning that he pitched last year, he made $164,251 for every inning.
Oh, my God.
Now, if you divide that by outs, now divide that by three, he made just under $55,000 an out.
For 1 out.
That is unbelievable. Man.
So he throws a first pitch, and it gets popped up in the air. Cha-ching.
55 cha-ching. Grand.
Yeah.
Oh, is that your guess for Cardinal football?
No, that's what he meant. That's what Greinke got.
Okay, what do you guys think?
But you know
football
what?
Player in the Cardinals. Same as Cardinal football. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
In the I have 70s, a reason for asking. 60s and 70s. I'd say. I mean,
no,
average.
Yeah.
Or just the highest paid.
Average.
70.
I go 25 to 30 grand.
I'll say 60 to 70 grand.
That's what I would say.
I'll say 40 grand.
I'm struggling to come up with this answer. I hope to have it before the segment's over because I'm looking.
I think it's gonna be hard to find. I don't know that.
I'm looking at. Football-reference.com, and I got Jim Hart's bio up in front of me, but it doesn't have a salary link.
No.
So
they don't really report those back
then. The only reason I mentioned is I remember there's a guy, Dan knows who he is too, and he played with the Cardinals, the football Cardinals.
Yeah.
And I remember he told me one time the story about re-signing, and the incentive to get him to re-sign, what pushed him over the edge was a new car. Yeah, they threw in like a Corvette or something. Okay, done deal. And I think he said he made 50 grand. I think that was the salary.
The same actor that I referenced earlier, Frank Grillo, did a movie because his wife wanted a new garden. He said it was a bad movie, but you know what? It got my wife a new garden, so it worked out. He said it's probably the worst movie he's ever done. It was a movie with Bruce Willis, a direct-to-DVD movie called Reprisal. He says it's so bad, but you know what? It got me a new garden, so it wasn't. That's what they do it.
Well, sometimes real hard work. And for anybody who, I hope nobody actually thinks they just go play and go home. It's a lot of work, man. It's thousands of hours of training and practice.
Oh yeah, I mean really for baseball. I mean you play 6 months of the year. And then spring training, and then the off season, you can't take off for too long.
You cannot let yourself go.
Because you got to get in the cages, you got to start throwing. Because when you come to spring training, you have to be throwing like, you know, your top speed. You got to have all your pitches going. I mean, you can't just take 2 months off unless you're, well, Marcelo Ozuna, but that's another story.
And then look at us. Look at us sitting here.
Just somebody about people 50, getting paid $50,000.
I will say,
out.
Again, I will say, I always try to give a movie in theaters, and I try to give a TV show at home. A show that I'm just starting to watch. It's really great watch. It's got a bunch of cast of people you probably won't know by name.
You said it's got a bunch of cast.
It's got a bunch of unknown, like, let's say actors you'll know by their face, not by their name. It's called The Boys, and it is.
Never heard of it.
It is, well, it's based off, I think, a graphic novel. Or, Limey, this is your expertise. It's based off a graphic novel.
Basically, it's a bunch of superheroes, okay? So already, Frank, you're switching up.
Yeah, I'm tired of it. I don't care about
just
superheroes.
Just Uno Memento.
Yeah.
These superheroes, this shows, like, behind the scenes what goes on. Like, these superheroes, they're out in front. They're these great people, these real heroes. And then behind the scenes, they are just terrible
people.
They are corrupt. Yeah, they're killers.
All right, Tim, like,
Jim, well, Jim Hart, one of his best years in St. Louis was 1978. The average NFL salary in 1978 was $62,000.
Wow. Yeah, Limey, you're right on it.
You're there.
62,000.
You figure Jim Hart's a little bit better than an average player.
80.
He might have made six figures.
The beating might his have. Body took for 62 grand.
Might have.
And by the way, another really nice guy, Jim Hart. I mean, just super nice. And here's my Jim Hart story. And again, I'll never forget this. I'm at Burger King. There was a Burger King in Chesterfield Mall, inside. Mm-hmm. And I'm with my wife and my kids. And I see him, because my wife saw him first. She says, "Isn't that Jim Hart?" And I said, "Yes, yeah, it is." And he was there with, I guess, his wife, whatever. So we turn away, and I'm talking, and we're talking, my kids, and I get a tap on the shoulder, and I look up, it's Jim Hart. And he said, "Frank, I'm so, I really hate to bother you." He said, "I know you're with your family. I just want to say hello and tell you how much I'm still enjoying. At the time he'd gone to Carbondale, I'm still enjoying the show. He says, it's so funny. It's so much fun to listen to. He says, and I'm really sorry that I bothered you. And I said these exact words. I said, wait a second. You're Jim Hart. All right. I'm nobody. You do not have to apologize for bother. Are you kidding me? I said, I can't believe you even came over to say hello. But yeah. He's always, and I don't know him well, but we had met before, and he was a big listener. And you don't forget stuff like that. Somebody you would think would have every right to not give you the time of day actually acknowledges you.
That's like the Seinfeld episode when Keith Hernandez walked up to Jerry Seinfeld in the locker room and said, I hate to bother you.
I got an email from a listener last week, and it made me go back and listen to the segments. We got a caller last week who was asking about comparing the Coens to the Quentin Tarantino.
Right.
This guy, who's Corey, who's a young listener of yours, he sent me an email saying, I think that was John Goodman calling in.
I got the same email.
Yeah. And I listened back, and it sounds a little bit like John Goodman. He did.
But it could have been.
He did Out of the Blue say that, yeah, he was really good in The Big Lebowski. And if you listen back to it, he says that he had a son who works in the industry, and the voice, I listened back to it twice.
Here's why it could have been John Goodman. You know that John Goodman is one of the 1,000 people who own the other station where I used to work. He's one of the owners. There are 26 people or something that own that station. John Goodman has always liked this show. I have John Goodman's cell phone number here. I could call him right now. I'm not going to do it. But seriously, it's absolutely possible.
Yeah, because
he used to call at the other place and not say who he was.
No.
And once or twice we'd say, John? And they finally said, yeah. He would be in town, and he just called from a rental car.
I think he was calling as George, but the way that he asked about the Coens and Quentin, and when I said Tarantino, he's like, oh, yeah?
All right, we're out of time.
John Goodman's listening. I'm just telling you right now, that scene where you broke off that tree branch and smacked George Clooney in the head, and old brother, art thou? One of my favorite
that
scenes
That is a movie that I have
to watch. Where he throws the bowling ball.
Oh, my God.
I started watching it twice and gave up. I need to watch it. Oh, brother, where
are
you?
Not now, Donnie.
All right, quick. We're out of time. Another good guy, John Goodman story. About 4 years ago, 3 years ago, for the Backstoppers, I've only hosted two golf tournaments. So we're raising some money. So I called John and on a cell phone, and I said, here's what I got. If you can't do it, I understand. Foursome. You, me, John Londoff, and the highest bidder. Private country club, golf, private. Nobody will bother us. I said, would you be willing to do it? He said, absolutely. So I get $3,000. That was the bid. The high bidder was $3,000. John Goodman calls me as we're getting closer to when we're going to do it. And he said, I am so sorry. But as you know, he works all the time. This guy works all. Right. He said, I got a movie and I can't make it. He said, I am so sorry. He said, how much did you get? I said, I got $3,000 to play with you. He said, I will send you a check for $4,000 and that'll pay the guy back and give you another $1,000. And to my house, a personal check. $4,000 from John Goodman.
That's great.
Yeah, I thought that was
terrific. Man of his word.
No, I thought that was terrific.
Because you know why? He could have just said, I can't do it.
Right.
And that would have been it.
And that'd be exactly. That was my point.
That's something to chew on. If you ever get a caller called George and he sounds like John Goodman, it could be John Goodman.
We're going to listen for it next time. You got to say goodbye. You know how to end it. We're out of time.
I'll have more on the boys when I finish the series next week. Until then, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of
it. All right, we've had enough of it. Dan Buffa, everybody, brought to you by Window World. The number one selling replacement window in the United States. I like stories about where you find out somebody actually just really is a nice guy and did something they did not have to do. Time for us to discuss banking, where you bank, and then before you know it, it's Playhouse time. I hope you're looking forward to that. Another good joke today. First Community Credit Union sponsors the only yard sale I'm willing to bet in the United States where they sold an airplane, and that was just a few weeks ago. It's Saturday morning, 7 to 9 o'clock, right here on 590 The Fan. One sponsor and only one sponsor, which means not a lot of commercial. In fact, one break every 15 minutes just to tell you about First Community Credit Union, a great place to bank. Why is it a great place to bank? There are too many reasons to go over now, but you won't really know why it's a great place until you bank there. And if you want to start small, start with your car loan. Because if you move it over, there's a very good chance your car payment will be lower because they're real good at beating other people's rates, and it happens a lot. Over 40 locations, the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. It really is a terrific place to bank, and I hope you'll consider joining the rest of us who are members. Please tell them your AM and the PM. FirstCommunity.com for more. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Jim Hayes. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Dayton Police Chief Richard Beal says materials show the shooting suspect, 24-year-old Connor Betts, had a desire to commit a mass shooting.
The individual had a history of obsession with violent ideations to include mass shootings, and had expressed a desire to commit a mass shooting.
Speaking with reporters today, Beal said the FBI will be taking a central role of investigating the mass shooting that killed nine people as a domestic terrorist.